Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
It was difficult. I knew that wanting to be a footballer and be in game, you know, it wasn't a thing. It had happened with Justin Fashanu. He came out, and massive credit to him for doing that. But obviously, me growing up now, there is no one.
What was it for you that made you think, right, no, let's open this up a bit?
I was scared. I was nervous. You know, it was my life's secret.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to the programme. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Thank you for your streams and downloads, as ever, of Mental Health Monday. More than 300 episodes of conversations about mental health for you to listen to as and when you're ready. Have a scroll on through wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah, do pick out the conversations which are relevant to you. We have got a fantastic guest for this week's show. And by the way, what a brilliant couple of guests we had on last week's show as well, with Alyssa's story of gambling and problem gambling and her experience of problem gambling. So many people have said to me, like, goodness me, imagine, you know, leaving your own wedding early to go and gamble. But actually, you know, very much part of Alyssa's story. And thanks as well to the team from GambleAware, who were able to sort of signpost to some of the help and resources that are out there. We'll always try and do that in the podcast and make sure that we can signpost to services so that when you hear those stories, you can take some steps yourself. This week's guest, as I say, is a really, really great one. This is a guy 18 months ago who made the monumental decision to come out as gay. Now, for a lot of people, you know, people within the LGBT community, you know, this has been very much normalized, you know, within society now, as it moves away from some of those old-fashioned stereotypes and stigmas that people have. But can that be said in the world of particularly male football? Because the last person to come out as gay in UK football before Jake Daniels was Justin Fashanu in 1990. 32 years later, Jake, as a young man playing for Blackpool, said, you know what? I'm going to talk about myself. I'm going to talk about my sexuality because I'm not afraid to talk about it. And in fact, as we'll hear in the conversation, not talking about it and not feeling like he could be open and honest about his sexuality was starting to massively impact on his mental health. So I've been speaking to Jake as part of Movember, and off the back of a new set of survey results from L'Oreal Paris Men Expert that talks about what it means to be a strong man. 32% of men find it easier to listen to a friend's personal issues than talk about their own. 14% of men say they have nobody to turn to with their emotional struggles. When asked about what the biggest sign of strength was in other men, how much they can lift in the gym came up higher than offering support to family and friends during times of need. So, you know, this is a really important conversation, and Jake's a really brilliant advocate for the fact that, you know what, if you feel you need to have a conversation, have that conversation. It will make a difference. And I started off by talking to Jake about that decision, the process, and the fact that, yeah, absolutely, as a male gay footballer, there weren't many people like him, if any, around.
Yeah, what I did, you know, it was difficult to speak out. But like I said, you know, it's the biggest weight's lifted when you speak to someone. And that was how I felt when I spoke to someone about how I was feeling regarding my sexuality. I played a game the next day and I scored 4 goals, and it really did feel like a weight had been lifted. So, you know, other men have other, you know, problems that they're having to deal with. You know, mine was my sexuality, and being able to speak out really did help me. So I hope that me doing what I did can help other men be able to speak out about what they're going through, and they're not alone in anything that they are feeling.
You did it at such a young age. There'll be guys listening to this who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s and beyond who are still carrying things that they haven't spoken about. What was it for you that made you think, right, no, let's open this up a bit?
For me at the time, I was struggling a lot with my mental health. It took a massive toll on me, what I was going through, just for like 6 months when it really started to affect me, and it was affecting my football at the time. You know, I was part of the FA Youth Cup team, and I wasn't eating properly, sleeping, I was getting injured, and it was really important for me to be in that squad. It was a massive thing. My first year, the FA Youth Cup, such a big thing to play when you're a scholar. So it affected me so much that I was like, I I can't let it affect me no more. Football's my life. I need to continue playing that. So that was when I finally was able to accept myself and be able to open up to my mum and my sister. And that was when it first happened. And that first conversation I had with them, it was literally over a message. Because I was too scared to tell them in person. But that changed it all for me then. And then I was able to tell everyone and made everything so much easier.
It's always interesting, isn't it, that people find their own way of sort of having that first conversation. Part of this new survey, which is out, talks about the fact, you know, one in three would rather listen to someone else's problems than even, you know, talk about their own. And some would prefer to do it over text. Other people prefer to do it face to face. You don't get taught, do you, how to talk to someone about difficult things? You've almost just got to work it out for yourself. Is that fair to say, do you think?
Yeah. You know, I probably would have preferred to do it in person, but that was just, I was scared. I was nervous. You know, it was my life's secret. So being able to do it over text for me felt more comfortable. But after being able to do that, I felt having one-to-one conversations with people was so much better. It was easier. I was able to get a real feel for how they, you know, were feeling or how they came across towards what I had to say. So everyone has their own different ways, but, you know, it's just being able to speak out about it just makes the massive difference.
I'm going to take a punt on saying that you're from a generation, just from an age point of view, whereas actually if you sort of who you fancy or who you're going to fall in love with almost doesn't matter to a certain extent. But of course you're sort of different because you were going into this world where it was kind of like this closed door. What was that like, just getting your head around the fact that if it was just Jake just, you know, who goes out and talks to his mates, you could probably have just said something and people would have gone, all right, good news, or I didn't know that, or I did know that. The fact that we're opening this door to this world of football where literally nobody else had done it for 30 years, what was that like? What sort of process did you have to go through?
Growing up, I never thought about it. I didn't really look into, you know, the whole LGBTQ in sport. I knew that I wanted to be a footballer my whole life. That was my growing up. But when it came to the point of me coming out, that was when I started learning more about it and getting myself in and around it. And then knowing that there was literally no one at this day and age who was out playing football. It was difficult. I knew that wanting to be a footballer and being gay wasn't a thing at this point. You know, obviously it had happened with Justin Fashanu. He came out, and massive credit to him for doing that. But obviously me growing up now, there is no one. So I knew it was going to be difficult. Like you said, if I was just not a footballer and I was just in college or working or whatever, then it would have been completely different. I would have been able to say it in high school and it wouldn't have been that big of a thing that it is for me now as a footballer. So it has been difficult, but what I've done, I'm trying to get it spoke about more in football, that if there is more footballers who are gay, they're able to come out with ease and it not be a problem.
You talk about that, you know, looking around for other examples, just in fashion. If you look just even globally, particularly in men's sport, women's sport I think is a little bit different. In men's sport, you have to really look. I think there was one case of somebody in Australia who spoke out. But actually, if you, like, it's so unspoken that, like, you opening your mouth about it for that first time felt like football had to look at itself and go, oh. And I think there was a lot of warmth towards what you did, because I think so many people were so aware that it was so unspoken about, and they were just so pleased that someone had decided to actually sort of put themselves forward and prepare themselves to take on maybe some of those responsibilities that maybe come with an announcement like that.
Yeah. When I first came out, I had all my social media taken off me just to not see anything negative. That was the main thing, you know. And to be completely honest, it was 100% positive. I was receiving messages from people's parents saying their son had just come out to them. And it was surreal, but it was such a heartwarming moment for me when I was struggling with my mental health. I know my mum was stressed and panicking a lot. Obviously I'm her baby and when I've kind of changed over 6 months and I'm a completely different person. It was worrying for her. So knowing that parents have been able to, you know, say that my son's just come out as gay to me, and I feel so much better. You know, it was such a heartwarming feeling. But, you know, with social media, there's always going to be negativity, but 99% of it has been positive, and that was just an amazing thing to see.
We talk about talking about our mental health. You talked about the positivity that's come and the weight that's been lifted. I'm sort of rephrasing that slightly because I almost think like, you know, there's a normality to what you're talking about, but I think it's these outside pressures, you know, are obviously sort of part of this particular narrative. The mental health issues that you were sort of dealing with before, like, how difficult was that? What's like, because, you know, it's difficult to be a 16 and a 17 year old, you know, in life, you know, and life can be tough, particularly when you're trying to get into a profession which is so sort of like competitive as well. Plus you're dealing with other things as well. So what were those moments like for you from a mental health point of view?
Yeah, they were very difficult. Football was the only place where I felt like nothing was going on in my head. It just took me completely away from everything. I just concentrated on football. And it came to a point where I moved out from my mum's house and I moved into digs with all the other football players because I felt like being in and around football day to day, like even sleeping over with the football lads, it just made me feel more comfortable and made me kind of forget about those feelings that were going on. But then it just came to a point where I couldn't get it out of my head, and it was literally everything. I'd wake up and it would be, you know, the first thing on my mind. And obviously with me getting injured, I wasn't playing, I was in the gym, and then it just became a repetitive cycle, and it just wasn't enjoyable. And that was when it just came to the point where I just had to get it off my chest, and then everything was just better. But no, it was very difficult with dealing with social media, but like I say, just speaking out about it made so much of a difference.
Can I ask you about, in terms of social media, I imagine, I'm going to take a point here, that you've had, tens of thousands of sort of interactions on social media. When we talk about sort of our own mental health as well, sometimes when you see 1,000 people telling you you're great and then one person says something really nasty, it's really then easy to focus on that one person and that one sort of mindset. How do you deal with that? And what's that like in terms of the positive versus the negative, when the negative just seems to be so loud a voice?
Yeah, like you say, you do focus on the one negative, and it affects you more than seeing so many positives. But since coming out, I've learned that people's negative opinions don't care to me. You know, I live my life for me. I'm doing what I want to do. And what people have to say is their opinion. And if it's negative, I don't really care what people say. And that did take a while for me to kind of get that into my mind, because a lot of negative things that were said or things that I did see, they did play a toll on me. It did hurt to see them types of things. But now it's just, I've kind of just learned to forget about it. Don't even read it, because it's just people's opinions. And what I've done for myself was just the best thing.
Maybe one of the reasons, Jake, that people don't speak out is they're worried about that dressing room culture. Maybe they've heard things in dressing rooms and think, actually, if I do say something now, I know that people have got certain attitudes or use certain language. What's that been like within that dressing room?
No, when I first came out to my teammates, I was nervous about the reaction. You know, there's different cultures, different religions and stuff in and around my football group especially, but in all the different teams. So I was nervous about the reaction, but I knew that my teammates were always going to have my back, and the reaction was what I wanted to expect. And it was, you know, they all clapped, they all hugged me, and it was like, you know, you're still one of us at the end of the day, and nothing changes. And nothing has changed. I've not changed. I'm still me. It's just what I had to say. But no, it's been amazing, and people kind of think about what they're going to say before they speak. You know, we see people using like faggot or gay as an insult, which I've heard growing up all the time. It doesn't really affect me because, you know, I know people aren't saying it intent, but it's trying to learn for people not to say those words in a way of kind of an insult. But no, literally, I've not heard anything like that since coming out. So it's kind of shown that people are kind of, you know, learning not to say them sort of stuff. But no, it has been incredible, and my teammates have always backed me.
And you talked about going through sort of the mental health sort of like issues ahead of sort of coming out. Have you found that players or friends now come to you to talk about their own issues outside of either, you know, anything to do with coming out? Do they say, well, you know, Jake's been through it a bit, so actually he might be the sole person who might understand my issue. They might want to talk about depression or anxiety or whatever that might be.
Yeah, I think so. A few of my close mates from school have definitely come to me about different problems and stuff, and that's a nice feeling for me, as it kind of tells me that, you know, they trust in me, they can confide in me. But, you know, everyone has their own problems, but I feel like, you know, you go through what you go through, and I just want to be there to help anyone. You know, what I've been through was massive, but I still want to help so many other people, if that is with their sexuality or with whatever it is that they have on their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And that ability to talk, create that environment and find that person who you're comfortable to share that story with. And it might be a schoolmate, but it might be someone you don't know. It might be, you know, it might be a text service, or it might be a phone call. I think it's so crucial that we find that out. What for you, Jake, has been the highlight of the last sort of like 18 months, 2 years? What for you has really summarized how your mental health, as a result of opening up the conversation, has really taken you to a better place?
Yeah, I think obviously my football has been kicking on. I took some time out after coming out just to kind of deal with everything. And since coming back, I've just kind of smashed that out. Obviously, football is my main focus, and I just want that to kick on as much as possible. And in regards to coming out, you know, I've worked with so many amazing, you know, companies, especially for this one, L'Oreal Paris Men Expert. For their Movember campaign, that was such an amazing thing to be a part of, to get out what it means, you know, as a male, being able to speak out about your feelings. And it does mean a lot to be a part of that. I've worked with the World's Strongest Man on this campaign, and we kind of used him being the World's Strongest Man and me being mentally the World's Strongest Man. And even people you think are living such an amazing life, so many amazing famous people that have problems that they are dealing with, and they don't speak about it. So it was such an amazing campaign to be a part of. But no, it's just seeing all the amazing support that I've got and seeing how much help I'm giving to people, you know, that is one thing that I can never not like to see. It's such an amazing feeling seeing all the positivity around it.
It's a huge credit to what you've achieved so far. Best of luck with the rest of the footballing season and your career from that point onwards. And of course, this wider work you're doing as well, absolutely fantastic. Mentally the World's Strongest Man, it's not a bad title to hold. So thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.